for a number of years, I've been thinking, why do we count? And I have asked a few people here, why do you think we count? Does anybody want to answer that? Why do you think we count? We always have so many people bite at these questions in this congregation. I got a couple answers. The most obvious one is God says so. And that is the most obvious, but one that I came up with as just getting ready for this sermon is what a wonderful teaching tool God has given us to tie the children into our beliefs, to tie them into the holy days. Use your imaginations. I wish I had thought of this before when I was younger, because Catherine would have definitely known every day in the counting, but I never thought of it. You know, you can make up a calendar. You can. Here's a book I'll be referring to. It's not really a book, but this has each day on it. Somewhere it starts. There's day one. And it goes. But you can make something like this for your children. You know, day one, day two, and have something like this. Do it on a calendar that they mark off each day. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to teach your children the counting, and it's a wonderful teaching tool that God has given us. I got some information. Brian sent me an email of someone, and I think it was from Giving and Sharing. It was a link from Giving and Sharing, I think. But this one lady had speculated that it might be tied into the 50 days of after conception of what happens to a baby, which I think that's an interesting idea. I don't think it quite fits, but it would be interesting to see a slideshow what happens during that time period and how a child develops and everything. That would be a neat thing to do. Maybe I'll do that in future time. But what I've come up with is, I'll go back here. It's from basically from this book, which is by Rabbi Simon Jacobson. And this is the best explanation I've seen over the years, and I've seen this before. What the Jews do during this time period, and I'm not saying this is what you should do. I'm just saying this is the best explanation I found. That they have different emotions for each of the days, because you have 7 days you're counting. The first day, actually, they have different emotions for each week, and they combine them together. But the first emotion they have is love, kindness, and that can also be grace, which is chesed, that has that hard H sound with that CH. I gave a sermon about that the last time I spoke, so I won't be really talking much about that. I'll be referring to it when we get into the scriptures, but that's mostly, in the King James, it's mostly translated mercy. The next emotion, and how they explain this is it's 7 basic emotions or attributes. Is vigor, discipline, power. That's gavurah, I believe it's pronounced. In the Bible, it's mostly might, strength, and power. The third one's beauty, harmony, compassion. I'm not going to try to pronounce that because I'll mess that up. And that's in the Bible, it's mostly glory and beauty. As a matter of fact, it's the word that's used for the high priest's garment, that they're to be for beauty. And then the next one's victory, endurance, determination. I won't try to pronounce that one either. And that's mostly translated forever. That's the week we're in right now, is the week for endurance. And then the fifth one's humility, devotion, that's hod. I don't have enough information on what the word means from the Bible. Because the Bible mostly translates it glory, honor. There's one time it translates it comely. So it has that little bit of the significance of humility in the Bible, but I haven't found it in other places. The sixth one's foundation, bonding, connection. Yesod, I believe it's pronounced. in the Bible, it's translated mostly foundation. It's also translated bottom. I think I looked at it last night. It was six times it was at the bottom of the altar. And I think it was for the throwing of the blood there, pouring the blood there. I didn't look close enough to remember. And the last one's majesty, dignity, malkut, which means kingship. It's translated mostly kingdom in the Bible. Now, I have that up there because that's what we'll be looking at. I mentioned that this week is the week of endurance. When they start the first week, the first day's love of love. And then the second day would be the love of discipline of love. And the third day would be the beauty of love or the compassion of love. And the fifth day would be the endurance of love. I think it should have been the fourth day. And then the fifth would be the humility of love. And one thing I've noticed as I've been going through this and just looking at these things is if we have any of these attributes, and that's all we have, we're out of balance. If you have love, and that's all you're showing your child is love, you'll end up with a spoiled child. If you don't have the discipline involved and the foundation, the bonding of the child to get to you, it's a lot involved in that. So these emotions are intertwined. This week was endurance. And I just like to, I noticed, I went through a few scriptures in the New Testament. Well, actually, I went through them all in the New Testament that had the word patience, and which it has the same meaning as endurance, and sometimes it's translated endurance in other Bibles. It's translated mostly patience in the King James. But just turn to Romans 2, verse 7. Romans 2, verse 7. And it has, to them who by patience or by endurance continue in well doing seek glory. Now here you have glory, which is one of the attributes. Which one would that be? That would be, I think I should have had that here. This one's glory. That can also be glory. Or even down there, the majesty part. And honor, immortality, and eternal life. So what I've noticed is that these attributes are combined a lot of times in the verses in the New Testament. It's not just patience. It has more involved with it. Just turn over to Colossians 1:11. In Colossians 1:11 it says, strengthen, and there's one of the attributes, the discipline or power, with all might according to his glorious power. There's the glory involved with it and power involved too. And all patience and long suffering, you know, the endurance and joyfulness. I think I could fit joyfulness. It doesn't really fit into these emotions that they have, but it is definitely emotion. I think it could fit into the majesty and the dignity. But I may be stretching it there. Turn over to Ephesians, and that's where we'll spend Ephesians 3, we'll spend pretty much the remainder of the sermon there. As I was looking through these different attributes, I read in Ephesians, and I thought, man, there's these attributes. They're right here in this book, a lot of them. So I'll just start reading Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. There's the word glory, God's glory. And eventually the glory that we'll have is involved in that. To be strengthened, here's the power, the might. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, in the inside, it's the inner part of you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts in faith. That you be rooted and grounded in love. There's the foundation part of it. The binding. We need to be rooted and grounded in God's love and bonded to Him, bonded to each other. What a tremendous thing Paul is saying here. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height. To know the dimensions of God's love. For me, that verse just goes, I don't know, I can't grasp that. To understand that. And then it goes on to say to know the love. And that would be one of the first attributes of Christ, which passes knowledge. We don't even begin to understand it till we have glorified bodies and be in the kingdom of God alongside of Christ. We just don't really fathom His love and all He's given for us. What a tremendous thing. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto Him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power. Here we have the power, the discipline that works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of Paul, or the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, in all lowliness and meekness with longsuffering, forbearing one another with love. And here's these different emotions combined. Humility, patience, endurance, love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there should be peace. And if all these attributes are combined, there will be peace. I have not experienced that in my experience with the Church of God. And I think, in my own mind, it's because these attributes were not applied in balance. You can discipline someone, and there was even something in the paper this week where the man beat his son. You know, if you have discipline out of balance, you need love, you need compassion involved with that. And many of the things in the church where there was problems, and I know there's some people in here that haven't been treated with compassion and love. It's just been discipline. And I've seen this all through the years. What went on in our former association, lives were torn apart because there wasn't balance. You know, people got shattered. So I think if we would spend more time instead of thinking that we got it all right, and that's, I'm speaking for myself. Okay, if this doesn't fit you, then don't, you know, take that I'm talking to you, but I'm speaking for myself. If I would have spent more time focusing on these different attributes of love, the discipline, the harmony, and even now, in my lifetime, the humility, the foundation, the majesty that God gives us, if I would have spent time focusing on them instead of thinking, I'm in the right church and I have all the answers when I didn't know nothing. I didn't begin to know what I know now. And I had no clue. And I think it's sad that attitude that we know it all, or we're the one true church, we're Philadelphians and all the rest of the world's Laodicean, which is probably true. The world probably is all Laodicean right now. We probably all are. But without that love that's there, what's that mean? To just label people. God wants to save the whole world. He just doesn't want to save me. He didn't just call me for me, He called me to be part of His work and learn to love everybody. And many times I fail in that. And I think this is a wonderful time period to focus in on what we as Christians need to do, you know, to change. Let's go on here. So the point is we need balance in all these areas. I'm going to drop down to, well, verse 9 or verse 8 says that at the end of it, he gave gifts unto all men. And then it goes on to list the gifts. And then down in verse 13 or verse 12, for the, and all these gifts are given. For verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these gifts were given to edify the church, to lift the church up. And my personal life, it hasn't happened that way. The church hasn't been lifted up. I think God's doing something really special, though, and somehow getting us to realize, you know, get your foundation right with me. There's, you know, your foundation needs to be in Jesus Christ, not in an organization, not in a man. And that's where it lies. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we'll all be lifted up, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Here we have speaking the truth in love. Brian and I were just talking before. Speaking the truth is a very important thing. And it seems that we in the Church of God tend, and to speak it in love. You don't tell someone that your dress is horrible looking. You know, you do it in love. Well, that's an interesting, maybe, dress. I mean, you don't do it the way I would do it. You do it the way Christ would do it. He would not do it the way I would do it. But speaking the truth, you know, that should be a foundation of Christians. And we were talking, Brian and I were talking about a book that someone published that took things out of context to prove his point, which did prove his point, but he totally took it out of context, which is lying. And sometimes that person is held in high esteem. And they should be held to, leaders should be held to a much higher standard. They should be speaking the truth in love. And Christians should be held to a higher standard. May grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Man, it's like your whole body. That's the way a church should function. Like, we're all together. You know, our heart's not over there and our liver's not over there. It's all together. That's the way the church should be. But it doesn't appear to be that way right now. It doesn't appear to be, to have that unity of the faith. Someday it will. Maketh increase, I'm dropping down to the last part of that verse, of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Again, here's the love portion. Therefore, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. I want to drop down verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Here comes in the days of unleavened bread, right in this, you know, put out the leaven. Put out the leaven that's in your heart and soul. I came up with an interesting scenario during the days of unleavened bread in our household. And I said to Darlene and Catherine, I said, you know, if the vacuum cleaner that we have could really suck up the real leaven, not just the breads and crumbs, the leaven that's in our hearts, which one of us would go in first? Well, I got voted against. I would have been sucked up first. So you might want to think about that. It's just that leaven, put that out, put that sin out of your life. It's with God's help. Let's see. Put off the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, put love, put the discipline we need to put love in, put the compassion that we need to show people. Have the endurance to go through the trials that we have. And we all have trials. We all go through problems. And it takes endurance. It takes steadfastness to deal with all these things. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And verse 26 says, be angry and sin not. I definitely need to work on that one. The anger part is, from my readings, was also involved in the discipline and power part. Neither give place to the devil. Let's see, drop down to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Again, the days of unleavened bread from you with all malice. And be kind. In other words, be compassionate, be loving. One to another, tenderhearted. I think tenderhearted would be a very loving person. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. If only I would keep that in my mind. You know, that how much Christ has forgiven me. And it's daily. And look at other people and say, not just the people in the church, but especially the people within the church and our brethren in this congregation, but the people of the world. You know, God's on a balance, on a scale, you know, He's forgiven me so much. And He continues to do it every day. If we look at that, how much God has forgiven us, and then we can apply that to other people, you know, and treat them with compassion and kindness. And forgiveness. Ed Sankiewicz gave a really good sermon about forgiveness. At least I felt that way last week. It hit home to me. And he reminded me when he was talking about it, some of the problems that are within the church. Let's see here. Verse 5, or chapter 5, verse. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. There we have the love aspect. As Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let's drop down to verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you children of light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're to be a light to the world. And if we apply these attributes, the love, the discipline, and the things that are involved with that, we'll be a light to people around us. They'll just notice that. They'll see that. That person is different. He's responding different. If we have all the fruits it talks about, but the fruits of the Spirit and all goodness and righteousness and truth and the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, the peace, the patience, the gentleness, the kindness, the faith, the meekness and self-control needs combined. It needs to be combined, not just one attribute. It's a combination of them all. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Then it goes on to talk about having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Verse 16 talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. In verse 22 it talks about the wives. I just want to say something to the men. I'm talking for myself. If it hits home, fine. I don't think my responsibility is to take that verse and club my wife with anymore. At one time I did. I think my responsibility is to read verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ. No, not verse 23. Excuse me. Verse 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for us. For it. That's what my responsibility is to do, to love my wife, and he loved me while I was still sinning. That's what we should focus in on as men, not on what the wives are supposed to do. Now, wives, that verse there is for you. And I won't say any more than that. Verse 26, that you might be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. There's that aspect, that majesty, that dignity that God will present that Christ will actually present the church to God the Father. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And it talks about men to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And then it says, the wife, see that you reverence her husband. To me, those attributes come out, speaking to me in volumes, that, you know, I need to have the love, the kindness, the grace even, and the discipline to control myself so that I'm not harsh to other people. It was a couple interesting, in this book they give exercises at the end for the day that you're supposed to do. And some of them are very interesting. This week, there was one that I had to laugh at. It was exercise for the day was break one bad habit. I thought, one part of that's really easy. I got lots of bad habits, but trying to break them, I've been spending a lifetime trying to do that. But the next day was a very interesting one. Be patient, listen to someone who usually makes you impatient. That's hard to do. And that's a good exercise to try to do. I'm not a good listener. I get distracted real quick and look at other things. So sometimes I'll try to really have eye contact, and my eye contact goes really quick. So that strikes home to me. You know, pay attention to other people, no matter if you like them or not. And if you don't like them, learn to like them. Learn to love them as Christ would. Okay, let me see. The one for today I thought was very fight for the day. This isn't quite the same that I remember. I'll just read what he has. His sovereignty is the cornerstone of endurance. Endurance that encompasses the previous six qualities is indeed a tribute and a testimony to the majesty of the human spirit. So to combine the love, the discipline, the compassion, the endurance, the humility. And I missed that when I was reading. The foundation, the bonding, it leads to a majesty in the human soul that we can respect people, and if we have those attributes, it will uplift people automatically. It's just, to me, it's fascinating. I'd like to just finish with two verses. Go back to Ephesians 4, verse 2 and 3. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. To have the love and the humility and the patience and endurance to deal with each other. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's what I want you, if there's one thing I want you to take out of the sermon, try to use the attributes as God has given you to provide unity within our congregation, within the church, within the world as a whole. And if we do that, if we become unified and show love and the compassion that we need to do, then it's going to be like it says in Psalms 133. Psalms 133. It says, "Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment." So it's something very precious. God looks at it very special because the anointing of the high priest was a special thing. And we have a high priest in heaven that's been anointed for us. It's been done so much for us that we can show the respect to each other, and the unity will be so beautiful. "As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descends upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore." And if we have that unity, that life forevermore, we'll go on into eternity and we'll be able to love each other and have discipline and just all those combinations combined. And what a wonderful time that'll be.